Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to celebrate the birthday of Whitey Kaufman, who gets his very own segment for the first time on the show. We'll have some lovey songs, hear about Madeline, play some tiny records, and at the end of the show, we're going to lose it. Yesterday, September 6th, marked the birth in 1899 of Marlon Kaufman, better known as Whitey Kaufman. He was probably born in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and spent most of his life there. Around 1920, he was working as a highway inspector, but a couple of years later, he was reportedly attending college in Annvil and formed his band, the Original Pennsylvania Serenaders. The group made a test recording for Victor on August 10th of 1922 and had their first regular recording session the following March. Over the next 5 years, they produced 14 issued sides, with about an equal number of efforts being rejected. Whitey Kaufman was leading the band up until at least 1935, and its most prominent member was Jack Purvis. Whitey died in Lebanon, Pennsylvania in March of 1984. Here are three from Whitey Kaufman. Thank you. That's a very nice early electrical recording by Whitey Kaufman and his orchestra of Tiny Town, made February 1st, 1926. Tiny Town was composed by Frederick Hollander, who adapted it from his European hit of 1922, Lilliput. I was unfamiliar with Hollander, but his birthday is coming up next month, and it's a safe bet he'll have his own segment on the October 19th show. Before Tiny Town, it was Whitey Kaufman's original Pennsylvania Serenaders and You Tell Her, I Stutter, from March 27, 1923. You Tell Her, I Stutter was written by Cliff Friend, and it loses something being an instrumental version. The Georgians also recorded an instrumental version, but Billy Murray recorded the definitive version in March of 1923, and it became a huge hit. We began our tribute to Whitey Kaufman courtesy of listener Rich in Illinois, who contributed his very nice transfer and restoration of Paddlin' Madeline Home. Even more remarkable, considering that he started with a record that was broken in half. Rich notes that there was a howl throughout the recording caused by a bad tube in the recording amplifiers in Victor's Camden studio, and that there was not much activity and a lot of rejections that week. He has no hard evidence that the recording amplifier problem was the cause, and if anyone out there has any further information about what may have been going on at the Camden studio that week, please let us know. Anyway, nice transfer, Rich, and thanks for sharing. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Jim Backus is known as the voice of Mr. Magoo, as the old-fashioned drinking pilot Tyler Fitzgerald in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, for his laughing record Delicious, and is perhaps best remembered as Thurston Howell III on the TV series Gilligan's Island. While the rest of the castaways called his wife Mrs. Howell, Thurston always called her Lovey. In one episode, however, it was revealed that her given name was Eunice, and in another episode that her surname was Wentworth. So with thanks to Natalie Schaefer for bringing that character to life, here are some Lovey records, beginning with Mark Fisher and his Edgewater Beach Hotel Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Georgians, the first band within a band, the members all from Paul Specht's orchestra, on December 29th, 1929, with Lovey Come Back, written by Lou Henman. That record has one of what I call an unresolved ending, finishing up unexpectedly on a minor chord. Before the Georgians, it was Ben Selvin and his orchestra, with Ben himself taking the vocal honors on O Lovey Be Mine. That Vocalion 78 was waxed September 15, 1925, and the October 3rd issue of Billboard stated that by this time Ben Selvin had made 1,600 records. O Lovey Be Mine was written by Walter Donaldson, and other recordings at the time were made by Cliff Edwards and his Hot Combination and the OK Syncopators. We begin that Lovey set with Mark Fisher and his Edgewater Beach Hotel Orchestra and Lovey, recorded by Columbia in Chicago on February 2, 1933, and issued on one of those fabulous Royal Blue discs. In addition to directing and playing guitar and violin, Mark Fisher was also the vocalist there. Lovey was written by Al Hoffman, Al Goodhart, and Arthur Freed. We started off the show with Paddlin' Madeline Home. Now, I don't know just who this Madeline was, but here are some other records about her.
Thank you.
There's a fine example of Ted Lewis's gaspipe style of clarinet playing. That was Ted Lewis and his band, November 24th, 1924, and Madeline Be Mine, written by Cliff Friend, Abel Baer, and Paul Whiteman. Before Ted Lewis, it was Banjo Wallace's orchestra in April of 1921 and Wait Until You See My Madeline, composed by Albert von Tilzer. This was an instrumental, but there are words which were written by Lou Brown. This same month, Billy Jones recorded a version credited as Victor Roberts. Banjo Wallace's orchestra was resident at Rector's Restaurant in New York in 1915 and consisted of a violin, a bass viola, piano, three banjos, and a drummer, a rather odd instrumentation. The drummer at the time was Earl Fuller, who would go on to form Earl Fuller's Novelty Orchestra and Earl Fuller's famous jazz band. It was reported in Variety that his drum set cost $1,000 and took up 64 square feet of space. We started off with Git Fiddle Jim and Paddlin' Blues, an adaptation of Paddlin' Madeline Home. Git Fiddle Jim was actually James Arnold, who was born in Georgia and raised in New York before moving to the Mississippi Delta in the late 1920s. This record was made by a Victor Field unit in Memphis, Tennessee on May 17, 1930, and Arnold went on to become a blues artist for Decca using the name Kokomo. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records, right here on KISL, Avalon, at 88.7 on your FM dial, and on your internet dial at KISLAvalon.com. We're also available 24/7 on demand, anytime at all online at RapidlyRotatingRecords.com, and on iTunes as a podcast. In the first segment of the show, we played Tiny Town by Whitey Kaufman's orchestra. Well, here are some other tiny records. Actually, they're regular 10-inch shellac records, not those tiny Little Wonder records.
Just a tiny bit, do you? Can't you give me just a little okay? If you turn me down, I'm going to sue you. Would you like to love and honor, old baby? Do you think you'd like a little flat, do you? Big enough for G, whatever you say. I'll give you strict attention or anything you mention. Do you love me well enough for that, do you? Thank you.
Bible founded in 1803. And the little old school seemed just like yesterday, learning my ABC. Little old church, Sunday festivals under the sycamore tree.
Oh, the tiny little choo-choo, chugging once a day, going by the old swimming hole. Lovely little garden where I used to say, yes, my darling, upon my soul, I loves you.
Tiny old town, folks were friendly like, never did see you from. Tiny old someone like the one that you used to love, back in your tiny old town.
Ah, that tiny little old hometown. Ah, what memories. The old gray mare. I wonder what ever happened to that old gray mare. Last time I heard, he was running for dole catcher. And then fields of corn. Ah, good old corn. When I was a kid, I used to pick it, and now I play it. And I'll never forget our old neighborhood. In front of our place was the meeting house. At the side of our place was the schoolhouse. And in back of our place was the railroad. Ah, tiny old town. Yeah.
Mother's precious lamb. Tiny little fingerprints upon the window pane, on the door and more upon the chair. What's the good of scolding when it seems to be in vain, for I can always find them there. Though things begin to tumble as he toddles along, I have no right to grumble. The king can do no wrong. Tiny little fingerprints mean everything to me, everyone a little work of art. Tiny little fingerprints that heaven meant to be, forever printed on my heart.
The Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, January 18, 1935, and Tiny Little Fingerprints. Sam H. Stepp wrote the tune, and Kay Weber sang the Charlie Tobias and Charles Newman lyrics. That was a very popular song in 1935, featured by Abe Lyman, Ruth Etting, Little Jack Little, Fred Waring, and Jan Savitt. In the first segment, we heard Tiny Town and Tiny Little Fingers was preceded by Tiny Old Town, which apparently is just down the road from Tiny Town, I suppose. That was Ben Burney and All the Lads with Ben and the Bailey Sisters singing the vocal refrain. Well, the Bailey Sisters were singing. Ben was vocalizing. That Vocalion 78 was waxed March 28, 1940. And we started off that tiny set with Ben Sullivan and his orchestra masquerading as the Colster Dance Orchestra and Do You Love Me? Just a tiny bit, do ya? You probably recognize the vocalist on that December 11, 1929 Columbia 78 as Smith Ballou. Nothing drives me crazier than seeing loose, L-O-O-S-E, and lose, L-O-S-E, used or spelled incorrectly. It can almost cause me to lose it. Well, this next segment is about losing things, beginning with a warning from Harriet Lee.
Thank you. myself, I'm blue as can be without you. But I had to lose you to learn you are meant for me. I never dreamed I'd miss you when you said goodbye. I thought I could live without you. But I had to lose you to learn you are meant for me. And sweetheart, after our dispute, I tried to substitute, but she wouldn't do. I guess that I was blind to think that I could find someone in place of you. I'll never be contented with somebody else, 'cause I realize I love you. But I had to lose you to learn you are meant for me.
Got a nickel, you haven't got a dime. I'm not so very busy, and you've got a lot of time. Hi-ho, like a day, what have we got to lose? I'm very fond of walking, I haven't any car. The church around the corner, dear, is not so very far. Hi-ho, like a day, what have we got to lose? Hi diddle diddle, that's a song that we can sing the whole day long. Hi ho, if anything goes wrong, we'll sing our worries away. We won't let little troubles upset our sweet romance, and history will tell you that Columbus took a chance. Hi-ho, lack-a-day, what have we got to lose? Thank you.
Bud Spaight's Harmony Boys from a test pressing made by the New York Recording Laboratories in Grafton, Wisconsin in June of 1930. That was Don't Lose It, composed by Nat Sherman. Not the New York City tobacconist Nat Sherman, although he opened his 42nd Street store that same year, 1930. I couldn't find anything at all about a composer, Nat Sherman, and there's very little information about Bud Spaight, S-P-A-I-G-H-T. Apparently, he played piano, accordion, and banjo, and the band was from Elkhorn, Indiana. Don't Lose It was eventually issued on the New York Recording Laboratory's Broadway label, one of four issued sides by the band. Before Bud Spaight, we heard singer-guitarist Charlie Palloy sounding like he was straining a bit to hit the high notes on Hi-Ho Lackaday, What Have We Got to Lose? Charlie was accompanied on that March 1, 1933 recording by Leon Nash and his orchestra. What Have We Got to Lose was written by Louis Alter and Gus Kahn and was preceded by Joe Morgan and his Palais d'Or Orchestra, and I Had to Lose You to Learn You Were Meant for Me. The New American Dance Bands on Record and Film 1915 to 1942 lists the vocalist as Alma Trix, but even I know that wasn't Alma Trix. It's actually Dick Robertson, who is credited on the other two recordings from that January 27, 1931 session. The band had tried it a couple of weeks earlier, but that effort was rejected, and maybe Alma Trix sang on that one. The Palais d'Or was a famous Chinese restaurant located on Broadway at 48th. B.A. Rolfe preceded Joe Morgan at the Palais d'Or, and before him, when it was known as the Palais Royal, Paul Whiteman's was the resident orchestra. We started this loser segment with another Royal Blue Columbia 78 of Harry Reaser and his orchestra, and You're Gonna Lose Your Gal, composed by James Monaco. Harriet Lee sang the Joe Young lyrics on October 11th, 1933. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.